It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Okay, so let's get started. Welcome back to the Overheard at Yoga podcast. It's Christina, and I have a very special guest today. Chelsea Major is in the podcast studio, and we don't know each other. Although we did just meet 15 minutes ago, and we were already talking so much, and I had to be like, stop talking to me. Save it for the podcast. I'm so fascinated by how you got started. So what I know from you so far is you own a bookstore called Little Pearl Collective.
Pearl House Collective.
Sorry, I just had like Little Pearl like the other night, and I've been wanting their oysters.
We should. We'll have to do a collaboration with
You'll have to do a collaboration. Sorry, Pearl House Collective. And you're a yoga teacher, but you weren't always a yoga teacher.
That's correct.
So would you mind just giving a little introduction for our listeners?
Yeah, definitely. So native Texan. I married an Idahoan, which is how I ended up here. But I started my yoga journey probably back in 2013. So I was from a small town, Port Neches, Texas. Got to give them a shout out. But moved to 6 hours away to Dallas, you know, fresh out of college, starting a job just to get my feet wet. Had to make some friends in the new city, and that one of the girls I met online invited me to do yoga. Started at a hot studio, basically did that, you know.
You said you were trying to make friends online?
Oh, yeah. I met her in the Dallas yoga community. So just like Boise has a yoga Facebook page, same thing in Dallas. Found some connections early on, didn't even know what to expect. And they invited me to yoga.
Hot yoga.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Tell me more.
Oh, I mean, it was my first experience, and it was very much like more Bikram style class. So really organized, really fast paced. But it was kind of that first experience of doing something with someone I didn't know, and also like trying something new for myself. And I'd been into fitness before, but I really am much more like an intentional kind of one-on-one type of person. Do better in small groups.
Would you say you're an introvert or an extrovert or anything like
that? I would say I'm definitely more of an introvert, but not on like the far extreme end.
Okay.
So I like to go and do things with my friends, but I do need like that rest time for sure.
Yeah, you're not shy, you just need rest time.
Yeah. And I'm also a projector, if you like your human design, so.
Will you talk a little more about that? So in my last episode, I had Corinne Hathaway, and she works with people on their human design. But she does like a whole array of things, and we ran out of time right when she was about to start telling me about human design. So can you tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. I'm definitely not an expert in this. I'm just like getting my feet wet. I actually work with a one-on-one coach, and she kind of introduced me to the concept. But basically, you're looking at when you were born, what, you know, area, what state, what city type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it'll actually like map out what your tendencies are. So for me, I'm a projector. So think of it almost like a personality test, but based on your astrology.
Okay.
Right? So for me, I'm a projector, which basically means I get things done really effectively and efficiently, but I feel like this need to perform, right? Like, oh, I have to spend 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day working, or I'm not being a productive member of society.
Do you get like guilty if you're not doing something? Do you feel like you should be doing something if you have rest?
Yeah, and it's very much that need to like get that gratification based on, right, like social norms and things like that. But in my mind, I know that I can actually crank out like 4 to 5 hours of work. I've done the stuff that I need to do, and then I actually need that restorative time. So I've tuned into that a little bit more in the last 6 months as I started a new business. Yeah.
Okay, so take me from like, it's 2013, you're in Dallas, you started this new job, and now you're checking out hot yoga. How did you transition into yoga teacher training?
Yeah, so I basically did hot yoga on and off throughout my time in Dallas, which I was there for about 6 years. That last probably year and a half, so let's say like 2017, I wasn't doing as much yoga. I had actually started my master's. I was wrapping up my master's, doing that part-time. We're working full-time in
amazing.
Finance and
well
technology.
Done, you. Did you say majoring psychology? Is that what you said?
Finance and technology, yeah.
Oh, technology. Okay, fascinating.
Yeah. So that's what I was doing for my day job. I was doing English literature for my master's, which is my background's creative writing and literature. My mom was an English teacher for 20-odd years.
Cool.
So still like feeding those side passions right on the side, where it was like that creativity, working with community. Those are always really big elements in my life. But yeah, so 2017, basically end of the year, I had this weird premonition that I needed to go home. Like me and my family like would do stuff, but we weren't like always super close knit, right? I had this strange feeling I needed to be home for Christmas that year. The day we were driving home, it was Christmas Eve, and my stepdad called me and told my mom was ill again. So my mom had breast cancer multiple times throughout youth. And this time it was really bad. It was right after Harvey hit, if y'all remember when that hit Houston. So like medical care and things obviously were like not high priority. There was other things going on.
Was Harvey like a tornado?
Hurricane.
Hurricane. Okay.
Yeah. So basically the hurricane was really bad, but then the water kind of just kept sitting over Houston, and like my hometown's like an hour and a half from Houston. So it was just, it was very, you know, impactful for the community, really destructive. There was a lot of things that, you know, efforts were basically targeted towards, you know, fixing that, dealing with that, handling the mess, handling, you know, people's homes and finding them relocation. So,
oh my gosh.
You know, my mom is very much, was always a giver. So I think, you know, this last kind of bout of cancer, she didn't even really want to acknowledge it. So by the time I found out, she passed away February 9th the following year. Mm. So not even like two full months from Christmas.
You knew about it, and then you knew you had to come home for Christmas because you knew she was sick, or you found out she was sick at Christmas, and then she passed away 2 months later.
Yeah, so I felt like I needed to go down there. I found out as we're driving down there, and that was at Christmas, and then she basically lasted another month and a half. Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, you don't want to be in the dead parents club, but once you're in it, you... It's terrible.
Oh my God.
It's so true though, but like people who have been through it get it, and it's one of those things like you figure, okay, who am I now, right? Who am I past, like once I don't have this person with me? And it's a lot mm-hmm. of rewriting and, you know, redefining what you want for your life for sure.
Were you able to get some quality time with your mom in the end?
Yeah, I mean, I would say even though I was like working a corporate job, right, my company was really, really flexible and let me work down there for a month and a half. So I just worked remote basically before that was the cool thing to do. And I got to spend a lot of time with her in the end, which I really am grateful for. We were kind of rebuilding our relationship and, you know, growing. I was, you know, my late 20s at this point. So I'm a little bit more aware of what I was looking for there. Yeah.
Yes. And that inspired you to get deeper into yoga?
Yeah. So I came back to Dallas, obviously, after that happened. Mm. Finished up my master's and just kind of, again, being like projector, wanting to get a whole bunch of things done. I was like, what's the next thing? What's the thing? Honestly, just to get me out of bed, right? Like I had to go to work every day, but when weekends would hit, I would just have this huge wave of, I wouldn't say it was depression, but it was definitely grief. Definitely like suppressed grief because I didn't necessarily have like some of the people that are really close to me now weren't necessarily near me then, just from like a physical standpoint.
Oh yeah, because you were still pretty new in Dallas, new job, school.
Yeah, and I mean, community. I was starting to settle there at least, but I still, you know, was just kind of, how do I keep things going? How do I find my new norm? So my friend Clara at the time, her son and his now wife were opening a studio and they were starting YTT. So I started checking them out, started loving their classes. It was a donation based studio. Still did hot yoga, but it wasn't as hot, like 90 degree or so. And like learning yin and just some of these other things that I hadn't really tapped into before, right? I think before it was very like the physicality, the exercise, the community. But the second time around, it was more the slowness, finding breath, finding stillness, finding peace.
The yin to the yang. Absolutely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, my friend Clara decided she wanted to do YTT, no other reason, just she wanted to grow her practice. Mm-hmm. And it was a weekend-based program. And I was like, you know what? Why not? It's something to put my time and my energy into. And I knew how healing yoga, well, I thought I knew how healing yoga could be, but...
What do you mean you thought you knew?
You know, like you have an idea when you first start tapping in, but it's one of those things that's like a well or a wormhole once you start digging deeper.
A wormhole. Oh, yeah. Okay, so you already had a sense that this yoga thing has a positive impact on you.
Oh, and
you needed to get away on the weekends, so then you signed up for YTT, and you're branching out into a different style. And how would you say that affected you?
I think it was honestly... The therapy I needed at the time, right? Our group was still fairly small. I think there was maybe like 20 of us. So
in your teacher training group?
Yeah. So it was like 15 to 20. But
that's not small. That's a lot.
It felt really intimate. I guess the room was small.
Okay.
And it was a lot about your why, you know, like, what are you doing here? Sure, we went through a lot of the anatomy. We did prenatal. We did all these things, right? But for me, it was really like, what's your why? What's your driver? And what are you resisting, right? What are you holding on to?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yoga is very intentional.
Oh, yeah.
Did you find your intention for doing yoga?
Yeah. I had this mantra I was using at the time, which if you follow like Yoga by Candace, one of the kind of mainstream yogis, it was, you have nothing to prove, no one to impress, and everything to share.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I love that.
And I think that one kind of held with me. I held that with me for probably until I relocated here. But just realizing, you know, I do have something to carry through. I have my mother's legacy. I have my grandmother's legacy. And instead of thinking about all the things I can't do, right? Like, I can't have her for these events, or she's not going to be there for my wedding, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, just shifting the narrative to, how do I honor her legacy and honor her light? And that's kind of carrying me forward. Yeah.
What are some of the things that you do to honor her legacy?
Well, this last fall, I kind of made another big jump. So, well, let me back up. So I moved here in 2019, that summer, so about a year after my mom passed. My husband's from here, so I was excited to relocate. And then we got married the following year, right in the middle of COVID.
Yes, yes.
Highly recommend. Just kidding. But once I moved here, I started trying out some yoga studios, but then COVID hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Funnily enough, Hollywood was the first studio I tried the week before the COVID hit.
Really?
So I didn't even get to use my full week pass because everything closed. But, you know, I will take up that.
Yeah.
That credit.
I'll set you up. I'll credit you back. Come on in.
But yeah, so during that time, it was a lot more of focusing on the internal, right? The spiritual, like, what do I need this next year? Kind of in 2021, this is where everything gets fuzzy, right? Dates are all confusing because, like, what happened the last 2 years of our lives?
I have no idea. So much.
Well. Yeah, but so in 2021, I decided to start, like, taking on kind of private clients. People were posting in the Boise Facebook
group.
Did
you start teaching yoga after your teacher training in Texas?
Oh, yeah, I did. I should have mentioned that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you've been teaching since 2018, 17?
2000, end of 2018.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And what's your favorite style to teach?
I don't know if this is a style, but I really love, this is odd, but like, I really love teaching corporate yoga, like in the corporate environment.
Because that's what you were doing for so
long. Yeah. Yeah. So I know how much we corporate people need that yoga and need that kind of break from the stiffness of our life and our job. So that's always been really a great opportunity. I taught that consistently before I moved here. And then when I moved here, I started teaching privates, which I love. There's just something about that one-on-one instruction, especially with, you know, people who are new and just, you know, judgmental about their bodies and how they come into the practice, and just being able to give them a safe space where they can really appreciate the experience and not feel pressured.
How do you set up your first one-on-one? Because everyone wants a one-on-one for different reasons.
Yeah.
So do you just have a phone conversation first so you know what they're coming in for, or do you just say, show up at this time and I'll figure out what we're doing?
So I definitely kind of want to do a pre-screening to make sure we're aligned. I think it's really important to find a teacher that you feel safe with, that's aligned in terms of your values or your goals. So usually a preliminary call. And then, you know, if we're in person, fantastic. And then we'll do, you know, a longer kind of first intro session, which is like showing the prop, showing the cues and like things that I'm going to instruct you in. So you feel oriented to the space before you're kind of injected into it.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And like, how else though? So like, give me an example of, if I just was like, hi, I want to do a one-on-one with you, what would I expect in my session?
Yeah, so usually I'll come into a session too asking, you know, like, where are you in your body? What, you know, what's going on in your life? Because we can't just separate the body from our mental experiences too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, one of the last things I did with a previous client was kind of each class focusing on a different chakra, right?
Oh,
and
cool.
That's just a way for me personally to continue growing in my knowledge, but also giving them a chance to see that it's not just the physical posture, right? But tying it back to your body, your intention, and, you know, what maybe you need, right? What are you not creating space for?
So right now, are you just doing privates?
So right now I'm doing privates. I'm about to start teaching community classes again, which I'm really excited about.
Great.
I teach at Meridian's Main Street Market, which is their farmer's market that kicks off actually this weekend. I won't be there this weekend, but they'll have another yogi there, some other wellness trainer. I'll be teaching the first Saturday each month, basically until it gets too cold. So it's nice and outside.
Okay, I was going to say, it's snowing right now.
I know,
What's going to happen?
I know. Last year, we started in April, and it was, I think we did an 8 a.m. class, and I think I didn't even want to go, and I felt so bad. But you know what? People showed up.
Aren't people amazing?
People
they inspire me so much.
I'm like, well, if you're going to show up, I guess I should show up and
All
teach.
Right, let's do it. Once we did an outdoor class once in the spring, and it just started heavily raining, and we saw a gazebo across the way, so we're like, okay, let's hike over to the gazebo. We're in the gazebo and all these people start showing up with chairs and tables, and they're setting up for a wedding, and we're trying to do yoga in their gazebo, and they're like, excuse us, we've got this place rented. And we're like, oh, we're so sorry. So then we quickly wrapped up a little meditation and while it was raining, and we're like, okay, bye.
Yeah, you gotta got to work with the elements for sure. Mm-hmm. I think one of the last classes I taught in the fall, it was a Sunday service. We did it Sunday outside next to Deja Brew and then 830 Common, if you know where that is in downtown Meridian.
I don't. I haven't been to Meridian in
We're going to have to get you out there.
I'm going to need to get an Uber out there.
It's where they put the Christmas tree.
Where do they put the Christmas tree? It's been a long time. I used to work in Meridian, actually, and I used to commute from downtown to Meridian for 5 years. Woo. And once I started working downtown, I haven't been back.
I get that. And I'm starting to learn because I feel like the longer I've been here, the more lazy I am about oh, I have to drive to Boise. It's so hard. But when I was in Texas, I'm like, oh, 6 hours. No big deal.
I have a friend who just got a job in LA and his commute is an hour each way.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, just music and podcasts.
Yeah. That was me year one in Dallas. They moved my office after I got my apartment.
Oh, my gosh.
But you know what? That was the time I got the most time to listen to my podcast while I was driving. Me and my best friend got to catch up, and you know, she actually came out to me during that drive. So you know, you can't plan these things.
That's what he was saying. He says he does a lot of phone calls, catching up with mom and dad. So to tell me how you got away from corporate America and now you run Pearl House Collective.
Yeah. So last summer, kind of where we thought, I think it was a COVID lull. We never really knew when it was going to end or if it's ending. I kind of took a pause and said, you know, I've been at my company for almost a decade. I worked kind of as a project lead for a technical team. And my background, again, is English literature.
Yeah.
So just kind of going, okay, I've been doing this for a decade. I've loved the community. I've loved the people. A lot had shifted. We had gotten acquired by a larger financial firm, institution. So I just knew things were going to change. And I had to kind of pause and ask myself, is this what I want for the next chapter of my life? I actually hired a coach, Christina Houston, who's a local here now. She teaches,
at
Lotus.
Her. Yeah, she's so wonderful. Yeah, I took her class at Yoga Fort. Awesome.
Yeah, and we're both Texans, so that was something we immediately bonded over. But she just kind of took me back to my core values, you know, which for me, nourishment, intimacy, creativity, right, play, community. So with all those things, I was like, what am I doing here? What am I doing spinning my wheels in this corporate life? And thankfully, I had the flexibility with my husband to really say, you know, should I take a chance and try something new? We don't have kids yet. He's, you know, in a stable career doing consulting work as well, and kind of decided to switch full full throttle, 100%. So started with a pop-up bookstore concept, which hopefully in the next couple of years will evolve. But for now, we basically do online new and gently used pre-loved books and then wellness and creative goods by women-owned businesses. So I'll bring in eye pillows, bath salts, anything and everything that can really help heal the soul and the body.
I love it. Wasn't confused, but I'd been following you on Instagram and I would see you in the lineup for these bazaars and pop-up events.
Yep.
And I'm like, what's the story there? Because that is just so interesting that it's the books, but it's also wellness, it's also yoga, it's also metaphysical. And so I was like, I gotta meet this Chelsea Major.
It's kind of, it's just my little happy place. And so the business itself, Pearl House, it's named after my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, Pearl. She was kind of my safe place when we had a lot of trauma as a child. I went through an abusive experience with my biological father. So she was kind of my safe haven during all that, and for me and my sister and my mother.
Wow, that's wonderful.
So that is kind
of... Not the trauma, but the that you had a safe place yeah. with your grandma. That, wow,
I got you.
You know what I meant.
I got you. And if you can't laugh through it, I think that's, for me, that's huge, right? Like being able to, and I definitely think they're bad jokes, but I always can like poke fun at the grief, because if you can't, like you're just letting it consume you, so.
I can already pick that up yeah. about you using comedy to help you cope with grief and trauma.
Oh, 100%.
And I'm the same way. Like sometimes I have this weird dark humor occasionally and I'm like, oh, I should probably tone it down. But
oh, yeah.
it really has helped me with my traumas too. What do you bring to your yoga classes? Do you bring some of that lightheartedness as well?
Yeah, I think I was lucky to take it at Black Swan Yoga in Dallas, and that's where I did YTT and where I taught initially. And I loved the teachers because they were so diverse, right? Like everyone just brought their own personality to the class. It wasn't this kind of stock uniform mm-hmm. thing. And for some people, that is totally their jam, and that's fantastic. For me, I needed that creativity, that something to push me against my comfort zone. So yeah. I think that I try to bring that to my classes too, which is like, yeah, we're going to do this, but like, let's have a little fun and like, let's be like kids. Why are we so, you know, judgmental of ourselves? Why can't we just... have a little fun, have a little play.
I have to ask you, what have you overheard at yoga?
Yeah, so I think one of my favorite things is you're not responsible for your trauma, but you're responsible for your healing.
Good one.
Yeah, and so that was from Kay Joy Lipson, who ran the studio, one of the studios in Dallas. And I think she's now off in Phoenix, but she's doing good things.
You are responsible for your healing. I love that. That's really inspiring. Okay, so tell me what's coming up for you. Where can people connect with you?
Yeah, so in terms of the bookshop, we're doing kind of two pop-ups this month. We usually do about two events, if not more, a month at local places. So on the 23rd, we're partnering with Bohemian Bloom and Herb. If you haven't been out to that flower farm in Eagle, it is adorable.
Okay.
They're doing a free Earth Day event, so we'll be out there selling books. We may be doing some wellness stuff as well, so stay tuned for that.
Oh, okay.
And that's all day Saturday, so technically day after Earth Day. Don't show up on Friday because we won't be there.
What day is that?
It's a Saturday, the 23rd.
The 23rd. Okay, great.
Yeah. And then the following weekend, the Thursday through Saturday, I'm participating at Oaks Brothers Marketplace, which is out in Caldwell. It's a really cool indoor kind of shopping mall. If you haven't been there, they have a lot of local businesses that are represented. And we're doing kind of a pop-up as part of the vintage road tripping affair.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Cool. Are you looking forward to doing like traveling and bringing your bookshop with you?
I am. I've learned that this job is less emotionally demanding, but more physically demanding. Carrying books is a lot of work.
Oh my gosh. Do you have like a dolly, or you just carry boxes
yeah.
of books?
Oh yeah. We definitely have our little cart, which is it's a miracle. Yep.
Well, I just have to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It was so lovely meeting you and chatting with you, and thanks for being vulnerable and sharing your trauma, your healing, and how yoga has helped you. And I hope that those of you listening, if you would love to connect with Chelsea, she just gave you all those outlets, but say your website and your Instagram again.
Yeah, so my website is going to be pearlhousecollective.com, and then you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pearl House Collective as well.
Cool. Well, thanks again. I hope you guys have a great day. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Please rate and review us. It's a great way to help others find the community. If you found this podcast interesting or valuable, please share it with a friend. Also, if you are interested in sponsoring or showing support, you can contact me via email. It's xtinayoga@gmail.com. Otherwise, please follow on Instagram, overheard@.yoga.